brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And I just want to say today that in all the dioceses of the United States, January 22nd or 23rd, when January the 22nd falls on a Sunday, so the 22nd or the 23rd shall be observed as a particular day of prayer for the full restoration of the legal guarantee of the right to life and of penance for violations to the dignity of the human person committed through acts of abortion. Brothers and sisters, I know that many, many don't see it this way or know it, but really, when we take someone's life in our hands and determine that we don't want them, no matter what the challenges are, we don't want that person, or that person is too much of a burden at this point in our life, and we abort the child, we are killing a life that God gave us. You and I don't have that right. We have a right to help people, but we don't have a right to destroy, except that which is evil, grossly evil. Brothers and sisters, let's take today to ask, Lord, show me the importance of human life and give me the grace to pray for, to bring an end to abortion. Please, brothers and sisters, let's open our hearts and our minds to all that Jesus wants to do in us. Sometimes we're very surprised at how God uses a handicapped person in some way. Brothers and sisters, we need to take on God's mind and God's heart. So I really encourage you to learn to know more from the Lord, the dignity of the human person, whatever age, the dignity of that person. Only God is in charge of that, not you and not me. God, our Creator, we give thanks to you, who alone have the power to impart the breath of life as you form each of us in our mother's womb. We pray that we, whom you have made stewards of creation, may remain faithful to this sacred trust and constant in safeguarding the dignity of every human life. Let's pray that prayer many times today. Let's ask God to give us light and insight and not destroy any more lives. Let's take a look now at the first reading for today. It comes from the book of Samuel, again, chapter 17, verses 32 to 33, and then 37, and then 40 to 51. So basically, it goes through chapter 17, verses 32, and then and a number of other verses, and then closes with verse 51. David spoke to Saul, "Let your majesty not lose courage. I am at your service to go and fight this Philistine." But Saul answered David, "You cannot go up against this Philistine and fight with him, for you are only a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." And David continued, "The Lord who delivered me from the claws of the lion and the bear will also keep me safe from the clutches of this Philistine." Saul answered David, "Go, and the Lord will be with you." Then, staff in hand, David selected 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the pocket of his shepherd's bag. And with his sling also ready to hand, he approached the Philistine. With his shield bearer marching before him, the Philistine also advanced closer and closer to David. When he had sized David up and seen that he was a youthful and ruddy and handsome in appearance, the Philistine held David in contempt. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against me with a staff?" And then the Philistine cursed David by his gods and said to him, "Come here to me, and I will leave your flesh for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David answered him, "You come against me with sword and spear and scimitar, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel that you have insulted. Today the Lord shall deliver you into my hand. I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will leave your corpse and the corpses of the Philistine army for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Thus the whole land shall learn that Israel has a God. All this multitude, too, shall learn that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he shall deliver you into our hands. The Philistine then moved to meet David at close quarters, while David ran quickly toward the battle line in the direction of the Philistine. David put his hand into a bag, and he took out a stone, and he hurled it with a sling. It struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone embedded itself in his brow, and he fell prostrate on the ground. Thus David, young David, overcame the Philistine with sling and stone. He struck the Philistine mortally and did it without a sword. Then David ran and stood over him. And with the Philistine's own sword, which he drew from its sheath, he dispatched him and cut off his head. My goodness, brothers and sisters, we want to work against evil. We don't want to take lives into our own hands, but what we do want to see is the heroic courage of this young man, very young, and he was able to do it with one stone. Brothers and sisters, how many difficult things do we have in our lives? Our call is not to go out and kill everybody. But my goodness, when you pray, when you take time, when you don't say, well, I know what I need to do. I know what I should do here to solve this problem or dismiss this issue or take care of that person. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me do? How would you have me act? What would you have me to say? Just quietly ask him. Give God the opportunity and wait upon him. And if after trying that a couple of times you don't hear anything, then do what you think is most wise. Don't kill the person, but do what you think is most wise. But ask God. God will lead you in some remarkable ways. Write and let me know how God leads you, because it can be quite a diverse number of ways in which he does it, but he loves you. When you come to him and say, Lord, I don't know how to solve this problem. I don't want to kill him, but sometimes I'm so angry I could. Lord, what can I do? It's his fault, not my fault. And maybe it is, and he's the one who should come to you first. But nevertheless, what does God want you to do? Think about that. We've all got situations like that in our lives. Sometimes they start out with some little petty argument and they just grow over time. Sometimes it's a big, loud, wild, public encounter and everybody's seen this and we're embarrassed and we want to somehow make up for it. And there's that instinct in us that wants to destroy. But just stop. Go before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and say, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? What's the best thing for me to do? Blessed be the Lord, my rock, says the psalm. That's what we want to do, because the Lord is our rock. He's our refuge, our fortress, our stronghold, our shield. Bring it to the Lord and ask the Lord what he wants of you. Prayer first. Again, get it. Let it be embedded in your heart so that it becomes automatic. Go to the Lord and pray, and he will show you what to do. Then we have the Gospel of Mark here, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Jesus entered the synagogue, and there was a man there who had a withered hand. And they watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, come up here before us. And then he said to the Pharisees, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it? But they remained silent. Looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart, Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against Jesus to put him to death. You see, that's when the law takes over. We don't even discern it. We don't think through what God is asking of us. And we just, well, this is what the law is, therefore it's under every circumstance. And we just go by the letter of the law. But what about this circumstance? They weren't open to Jesus. They weren't open to listening. They just went according to the law. And yes, we do need to go according to the law. We do need to obey God's law. But how we do that, God will show us. Go to him and say, Lord, how do I handle this situation? I'm so angry with this person. How should I handle this situation? Because I don't want to destroy. I want to build up your kingdom. And that doesn't mean going and saying, oh, you don't have to worry about it. I don't care. It doesn't matter. If it does matter, go to him and say, could we talk about this? Could I explain to you what's going on in my life? You'll find a resolution. In most people, you'll find a resolution because many of them are probably weighed down the same as you are. They love you. Many people, brothers and sisters, are in that situation where they have no means except to react. And what God wants us to do is step back a step and say, all right, Lord, how do I handle this? Rather than just giving vent from our mouths, usually, what we think of the other person. We say things that are hurtful sometimes. But God can help us with that. If we're angry about something and there's a just reason, you can talk to somebody, but you don't have to scream at them. You don't have to yell at them. Because maybe for some reason they didn't see it, or maybe for some reason they did and they're too embarrassed, go to them. Be an angel, with quotation marks, be an angel of mercy. Always bring the mercy of God to people. Forgiveness, reconciliation, wholeness. That's what God wants of all of us. And I want to encourage you. I want to mention a section of this from Pope Francis. It's very, very good. He said we need to renew a lively awareness of God's passion for humanity and the world. Human beings were made by God in his image, male and female. The relationship between man and woman is the primary place where all creation speaks with God and bears witness to his love. This world is the place where we are brought to life. It is the place and time in which we gain a foretaste of the heavenly home that is our destiny and where we will live fully our communion and with God and with all others. Brothers and sisters, listen to those words. In our time, Pope Francis says, the church is called once more to propose the humanism of the life that bursts forth from God's passion for human beings. Our commitment to valuing, supporting, and defending the life of every human being, and that includes all our arguments. It doesn't include life and death, but it is ultimately motivated by God's unconditional love. Read that carefully. Ponder. God loves you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.